It's hard to find creative ways to keep the kids busy and screen-free while stretching their brains, especially these days. Meld Science does all the legwork for you, so you can spend more quality time tackling projects together, and they won't even know they're learning. With Meld Science, there's something for every kid. We've just received some awesome Meld Chemistry sets, but also, there is Meld Kids, Meld Physics, Meld Med, and Meld STEM sets, and they are all for different age groups. We can't wait to get started with the kit we have received. Get 60% off your first box of any of the subscriptions by using the promo code CHEMIST for the first month for any of Meld Science's subscriptions. But it will only be active for 1 month. You can find the link in the episode description. Welcome to the New Chemist Podcast. We're glad you're listening. Feel free to download this podcast on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other platforms, including Odyssey. Here on The New Chemist, we discuss chemistry, which simply put is the science of change, as well as careers, community research, and COVID-19. We're happy you're tuning in. My guest today is Chadwin Hanna. Thanks for joining me today. It is so good to hear from you. Just briefly, I'll inform my audience about you. Chadwin is a good colleague of mine. We went to high school together. He was the former head boy before I was the head boy in 2014. He was the head boy in 2013. Chadwin is a graduate of Kettering University, where he majored in mechanical engineering with a specialty in bioengineering applications. He also has a minor in biochemistry. He comes from a diverse cultural background, having received his secondary education in Freeport, the Bahamas, at the great Bishop Michael Eldon School, and pursued his post-secondary studies in the USA. He is determined to use his knowledge of engineering on the human body to leave a lasting impact on the world of medicine and, most importantly, the lives of people for whom this industry exists. Like I said earlier, Chadwin is a good colleague and a good friend of mine. It is a pleasure and an honor to have such a bright young man on this podcast today. Thank you so much, Chadwin, for joining me today. It's so good to have you on as a guest. Well, me and Chadwin go way back to high school, all the way back to high school. And he was a former head boy before me, and I was head boy after him. So that's, and we also knew each other from just being in science together. So Chadwin, as we begin, what have been your longstanding interests in the field of science?
So thanks for having me on the podcast. Great that we could connect like this. But science, like you said, from high school, we were kind of always interested in science together, you know, from as early as I can remember. I think I had a desire to be a physician. And that just like led into this interest that I had in science, whether it was biology, chemistry. It's like, I want to be a doctor, and medicine is very cool to me. So I just gravitated to all the fields of science. Eventually that led to me going to do my bachelor's and become a mechanical engineer. And that led me down a whole other path into the medical device industry and really understanding how things work, being an innovator. And now I find myself right back in medical school, what I wanted to do from, like I said, as far as I can remember. So it's always been science, man.
That's very good. That's very good. So my question to you is, I want to hit on like immediately. How do you maintain view of the bigger picture in your career and in your life in general? So when you face challenges and obstacles, which I'm sure you have, how do you maintain view of the bigger picture and keep your goal in focus?
I think a big thing for me is knowing what my goal is, right? If you don't have a clear picture of your goal before you set out on your journey, then it's even not much harder to keep it in sight. You don't know what you're looking at. Okay. For me, before I went to undergrad, I knew like, hey, I want to be a neurosurgeon. And I knew I didn't necessarily know the path that I would take to get there, but I knew like, hey, this is what I want to do. That path took me, like I said, through Kettering University. I studied mechanical engineering, did a minor in biochemistry. When I graduated from Kettering, I ended up in Miami working for Johnson & Johnson as an R&D engineer, making neurovascular devices for stroke treatment, which was like, which was an offset of what I eventually want to do as a physician, but I was able to look at it from a completely different perspective as an engineer. So I think with the bigger goal in mind that, hey, I want to be a neurosurgeon, right? Like it, I was taking a step back and making the devices that neurosurgeons use so that later on in my career, like this will make me an even better neurosurgeon because I know how to make the tools and I know how to use them. So I think it's just keeping the vision in mind and not necessarily getting caught up in the path, right? I know a lot of undergrads going into medical school, they get kind of stressed when it comes to gap years and understanding like, hey, like I need to get to medical school ASAP. I don't want a gap year, or I just want one gap year. I took four gap years. That wasn't like planned. That wasn't in the plan, right? But I got into something, I loved what I was doing and I was learning and I was in a an environment where I could really like grow and flourish. And it was something that I thought I needed to do before going to med school. And I love it. I think it made me a better person, but always have the bigger goal in mind. Like I said, keep it on your head and everything that you do should be in progress of that goal. Everything.
Yeah, I agree. Precision.
Yeah,
as you hit around the target, you come closer and closer to the ultimate precision. So how have you been adaptive and creative in the fields of science? In what way? You served as an R&D engineer. Are you currently still serving as an R&D engineer?
Yeah, so I'm currently still spending a few hours working with my R&D colleagues at J&J.
Okay, good.
Which has been a blessing, right? It's also, it's a time balance. I'm in medical school. I'm in an MD PhD program. And I'm still doing some work in the field. I mean, it's great for me because I get to use two different sides of my brain, studying all this medicine, like really science side, but I'm also still doing some engineering, which is great. But I think to answer your question, it's, I just kind of take it day by day, you know? Like every day looks a little different.
Okay.
And you just kind of got to be, for me, I take it day by day so as to not stress myself out with the like enormity of the tasks that there are to face, right? Knowing, like I said, keeping the big goal in picture is great. Keep it in mind, keep it in focus, but at the same time, it's hard to look at that all the time. It's hard to look at this huge, grandiose thing. Sometimes you just got to take it apart and look at it section by section. That's what I try to do day by day.
Yeah, I can really agree with you. So, because I've heard several things. You have to be pragmatic. There's a quote that says, if you want to eat an elephant, eat it one bite at a time. And also, when it comes to anatomy, unless you're doing gross anatomy, most times you look at anatomy like one system at a time, one part of the body at a time, so you can really understand what's going on. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. So how do you seek or find the right environment for you to thrive scientifically and intellectually? What led you to Johnson & Johnson? How did you get there? And also what led you to UF? And how did you get there as an MD PhD candidate?
Cool. I think a big thing for me, I'll tell a story in a minute, but I think the biggest thing is the people, man. In order to learn, I think two things have to be true. One, you have to be in a mental space and understand that you want to learn. So you have to have the desire to learn. And two, you have to be in an environment that fosters your learning, right? If both of those things aren't there, then learning isn't going to happen. It isn't something that just happens. You can't just sit in the classroom and learn if you don't want to be there. You're not going to learn. You also can't just sit in the classroom, even if you want to learn and the environment isn't great, you're not going to learn.
And you have the capability as well.
You got to have the capability. So for me, one of the big things I look at is the environment. Like, is this a space where I can grow, where I can learn, and where the people are going to help me to foster my growth and my learning. So for me, coming while I was in school, I was co-oping for a company called Ethicon Endosurgery, which was also part of Johnson & Johnson at the time. Right. That's when I first got into the medical device industry. I was making laparoscopic devices. I was like doing R&D engineering work, research and design as a sophomore in college.
Okay, good.
It was great, right? So right there, I was working with a group of people that really trusted my ability, trusted the things that I was doing, and allowed me and gave me the space to grow, learn, make mistakes, right? But also make my thoughts and my opinions be heard, which I think is
very important.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's extremely important. It's like one, to be heard and seen, right? So I stayed at Ethicon for a while. I actually did 4 different rotations there because, like I said, the environment was amazing. And I just love working for J&J as a company, the credo of the company, what it stands for. And I understood, like, hey, I'm doing engineering because I want to help people. And I'm doing it in the medical device field.
Okay.
And this is going to benefit my career later. So after I graduated, I wanted to stay with J&J. Unfortunately, I didn't have an opportunity to go back to Ethicon. So I was looking, which ended up being great for me in the long term, because I found this company in Miami called Serenovis, and they designed neurovascular devices. It was a J&J company. I applied and I got like an interview in like a week. They told me to fly down there. I flew down there. And the environment was like, it was electric. I walk in the lab, there's engineers working. They have doctors visiting very often. People are bouncing information back and forth. People are asking me what I think about things that are going on, and I'm just there for an interview. So I'm like, this is an environment that would be great for me. And that's kind of why I ended up there.
Sounds good.
Because like I said, it's all the people, the environment, people able to foster your growth and your learning. Yeah. And that's also why I ended up at UF. UF, when I was looking at MD-PhD programs, I really wanted something that's collaborative, where physicians are working with researchers, where like people are on the cutting edge of science. There's a lot of clinical studies going on. Mm-hmm. People are actually actively trying to make a difference in the field. And UF was the fit for me.
Good. So. Good. Having a strong sense of agency and also having the capacity to jump from one S curve to the next. So as you learn and plateau, you learn, gain the skills, plateau, become comfortable in the environment, and you jump to another one where you're jumping S curve to S curve. That's good. It's very good.
Yeah.
So what have been your most effective and impactful ideas to date? What have you complimented to in terms of, so let me make this more practical. So you worked at J&J. How did you add your flair to the environment? What complements you adding your flair?
That's a good question. I'm always me. And I think that's great. I found that for me as an engineer, I'm an innovator. And I love to be efficient.
How did you do that?
I had just kind of like what I said about the gold. Having a big goal and breaking it into chunks.
Granularities. Like, yep.
If I see a task, I have to break it into smaller pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. I had a mentor at Ethicon that called me an optimizer. Because anytime she'd give me a problem, I'd be like, there has to be an easier way to do this. Like there has to be an easier way to do it. And that's how I face problems daily. If something is going on, I'm like, wait, there has to be an easier way to do this.
Yeah.
There has to be a more efficient way to do that. If it's a process.
The hill to climb, eh?
Right. If there's a process, let's say in manufacturing, I'm like, wait, only one person can do this? How can we optimize it so that multiple people can do it? How can we get it done quicker? And you ask, how do I add my flair in that environment?
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the most important things, especially in regards to innovation, whether it's science or industry, is just having diversity of thought and diversity of everything.
Yeah.
Diversity is so important. Me, of course, I was the only, at the time, I was the only Black R&D engineer working in that office in Miami, which is great. And I was like the youngest person working there as well as an R&D engineer. of course, I was the only person from the Bahamas. So all these different factors of diversity just influenced the way that I was thinking completely differently from everyone else, right? I think that is so important. So if I'm forming a team, I'm always thinking about, like, where can I grab diversity from? Who's thinking differently than I am? Right? I don't want a bunch of Chadwins on my team, even though I think I'm great. I don't want a bunch. I don't want a bunch.
Nothing wrong with that, bro. I feel the same way.
I want like as many different people as possible. So, and I work with people who really care about what I have to say.
Yeah,
and I think that's like a part of respect, and also trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in that, like, I know what I'm talking about when I say something.
Yeah,
it's hard to find that. You could work forever and, like, don't find a group of people that trust you.
Yeah, that's true. And so several things come up. One, you have to build your voice. And you build your voice through having a good grasp of your field and having good acumen and good knowledge and good skills that are relevant to the area of expertise by the area that you're working in. So that's one thing that comes up. Trust. I've heard people say the speed, the success of an organization goes or is a, one of the factors that complements the success is trust. And the speed of trust in the environment influences the path and trajectory of the organization. That's that two. And then three, what you said brought up a key point, being yourself, you know? We could all try to be someone else. But at the end of the day, the best person we can be, and I think this is an established fact, is yourself. There's something unique in your personhood that complements you being able to do that well. So that's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain a balanced life given all your responsibilities and accomplishments? Are you balanced, Chadwin?
I try to be, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So how do you manage it? How do you manage your time? How do you manage your workload? That's a practical way to do this. To answer this question.
So for me, currently, like, being in an MD-PhD program, when I started, I mean, obviously, I was living in Miami. I had a lot of free time working in industry. As soon as I got off of work, like, I was off work and I really took time to have, like, mental space to myself. So being out of school for 4 years and coming back into what I know is a really intense program, I'm like, I'm not sacrificing my own mental health. I'm just not. Like, I understand that medical school is hard. And some people would say, like, oh, like, I'm being arrogant or I'm being cocky because I'm like, I'm not sacrificing my mental health, but I'm just not. So, because a lot of people do, because a lot of people feel like that's the only way that you can make it in medical school. You have to be up and study for 12 hours every day or 14 hours. If you're not studying on the weekends, then what are you doing? But I think that everyone has to find their niche and understand what they need to do in order to succeed. And for me, what I've found, like, in this environment is that people compare themselves to others, like, I need to be studying this much, or I need to be studying in this way, and don't really take the time to find what works for them. So a big thing for me is, like I said, I wasn't in school for like 4 years. So coming into it, I really tried to figure out, like, what's going to work for me. Am I going to go to class? So I started to go to class every day. Mm-hmm. Like, is this going to work for me? And then some days I would sit home and watch lectures from the computer. I'm like, this doesn't work for me. I need to be in class every day. This is active learning that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I have an exam every 2 weeks. I'm like, how am I going to study for this? Am I going to study every night? No, that's kind of stressful for me. Let me develop a schedule, develop a plan. And, like, I know when I'm going to go through this material. That's been really helpful for me.
It's good, dude.
Like I said, I've been planning. I have time for myself in my planner, which I think is extremely important. If you don't make the time for your own mental health, then it won't exist.
Wow. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, dude, I completely agree with you. You know, mental health is so important. One. Two, you made the joke of if you're not sacrificing your mental health, and you said some people might say it's arrogant or cocky. Dude, you know, at the end of the day, people will say what they have to say. You have to live with you. So I don't pay it no mind. But people's opinions have merit, but it doesn't float or sink your boat, eh? So
no. So
the reality is, this is the thing that I think, or what you said is so important. You said people compare themselves a lot in that environment. My thing is, this is the thing, the question I raised for instances like that. If academic merit is comparative in the absolute sense, what happens when the things you are comparing are gone? Does the merit still exist? You have to have some type of... You have to have some individual merit in that you are trying to be a better you. That's another way to put that. You're trying to be a better person, just better version of you every single day. So that's good.
Yeah.
How have you maintained...
You got to show up as you every day, man.
Yeah. I agree with you. My thing is, if the only time you can have merit is when you compare, what's the point? How have you maintained vision and teamwork in your environment?
Like I said earlier, I think, especially in engineering, it's like teamwork is, like, you can't do anything by yourself. I learned that a long time ago. It's the same, and I can't name one thing where you can actually do something alone. You can't. Medicine is like that. Science is like that. And I already explained about having diverse minds and people from different backgrounds on your team. What I think it really is understanding how to work well as a team, right? So you can bring all these different people together, but if you don't have a structure of like, how do we flow together? What are the responsibilities of each person? How do these people work together and be as efficient as possible to deal with the task at hand? Then that's a problem. So really, when it's like, teamwork is the lifestyle. Like, nothing exists but teamwork. I think I spent a lot of time in my teams really trying to be as efficient as possible, using each person's skills, expertise, to like really promote and like bring the task at hand to fruition, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree.
I try to show up as like the best person that I can within that team as well, right? Because I'm there for a reason. So like, what do you need me to do? How can I use my expertise to make this happen?
Yeah, I completely agree with you too. It's very important. So do you have any advice to those wanting to pursue the field you're currently working in? What's your advice to the people listening?
My advice is just, especially for those applying to MD PhD program, difficult to get it.
Yeah.
An MD program. It's hard. It's getting harder to become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to professors and they're like, it's just hard. It's hard. I've talked to professors and they're like, I don't know if I would get into medical school today. Like, kudos to you guys. And I think in generations coming, it's just going to be harder and harder. So for me, this is actually, I applied to MD PhD program twice. I didn't get accepted in the last cycle. I got accepted in this cycle. And the fact that I reapplied shows the one thing that I would give people advice to. It's like, keep, like, know what you want to do and keep on doing it.
Yeah.
You can't let failures stop you from like achieving your goals. You just can't. You have to be persistent.
Yeah, bro.
You have to have some level of grit, because it is hard.
You have to be stubborn.
You have to be stubborn. Because people are going to try to stop you.
Mm-hmm. Like, you will have obstacles.
That's just people will drop walls in front of you to stop you.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But see, the thing with that, you know, I acknowledge that. When this is how I approach things, like that, you know, you could throw the obstacles in my path. But at the end of the day, you're not sovereign. My faith perspective kicks in for that. So yeah, it's just an obstacle, it's just a hill to climb. So what has been some of the most beneficial advice you have received? What's some of the good advice you've gotten from your parents or teachers, professors? What's helped you get through hard times? What goes through your mind when someone drops a wall in your path?
It's like, my dad would always tell me, like, to not ever let anyone stop you from achieving your goal.
Yeah, bro.
And that like reverberates in my head daily.
Okay.
Like, I will never let anyone tell me that I cannot do something.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, of course, work within the guise of like, what's capable? Like, is this realistic? Can you set realistic goals for yourself? Yes. And if I think it's realistic versus if you think it's realistic, then we have a clash, right? And I'm never going to let you prove me wrong. unless it is something that's not realistic. And that, in that regard, you have to know when to humble yourself as well.
Humility is important. Right? Yeah, it's very important.
You have to know when, like, am I overreaching? And you have to give space for someone to actually come in and tell you, hey, like, maybe you are doing a little bit too much. Let me explain why, right? Which takes a lot. Because I just said I won't let anyone ever come in my way of doing something that I want to do. But at the same time, there's a balance. And I don't know everything.
Neither do I. And that's okay.
I just don't.
Just keep learning. It's a growth. Sorry, I cut you off. But the beneficial mindset, I think, is a growth mindset. It's healthy, especially in these spaces. So, as you were saying, you said it's a balance, right?
Yeah, it's a balance. What I was going to say is, like, you might have a wall in front of you, and you might want to climb that wall, or you might want to go through that wall, but someone knows what's on the other side of the wall, and they're like, wait, maybe you want to plan a little bit before you just go ahead and jump. Like, you got to be able to listen to that person.
Yeah, you have to be teachable. I completely agree. You have to be teachable. You have to give space for the right influences to have influence in your life. That's good. So, man, Chapman, thank you so much for joining me today. It was so good to have you on as a guest.
Thanks for listening. We're glad you were able to tune into this podcast. Once again, this is The New Chemist, where we discuss chemistry, which simply put is the science of change, as well as the other sciences, careers, community, research, and COVID-19. Thanks again for listening. Note, the views on this podcast represent those of my guests and I. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.